Attention shoppers, we now have taste in the bread aisle. Dave's Killer Bread. That's right, an organic bread that's no longer a snooze for your taste buds. Dave's Killer Bread is on a mission to make the most of the loaf, to rid the world of GMOs, high fructose corn syrup, and artificial ingredients, and plant the seeds of good in all that they bake. Killer taste, killer texture, and always organic. Dave's Killer Bread. Bread amplified.
Welcome to the Midlife Male Podcast, a podcast designed to help men maximize middle age and live healthier, wealthier, stronger, and happier. I am Greg Scheinman, and I'm inviting you to join the thousands of men who listen each week, receive my Midlife Male newsletter, and are committed to making this next phase of life our best phase. If you have not yet downloaded my No BS Guide to Maximizing Midlife, where I break down the three principles to maximizing middle age and taking back some of that shit you've given up, head on over to midlifemail.com/No BS Guide. Guys are loving these three principles to maximizing middle age, and you can download your copy today at midlifemail.com/No BS Guide. All right, here we go. Greg Scheinman with you. It is another episode of the Midlife Male Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me this week and every week. As I always tell you guys, it is because of you out there that this is all possible, that the Midlife Male community continues to grow. If you like what you're hearing on the show, please give us that 5-star rating. Please leave us a positive review and share the show with anyone and everyone you can, because although it is framed towards helping men maximize midlife, the topics, the subjects, the guests, the things that we are discussing out here are applicable for anyone at any age or any stage who is looking to improve their lives and looking to learn from just exceptional men who come on the program and join me each and every week. And this week is no exception. But before we get into that, couple of things. We're getting close to the end of the year. Not sure when you're going to be listening to this show, but we are close to the end of 2022. So it is time to finish the year strong. It is time to be planning and prepping for 2023. If you need help, if you are looking to level up, to feel better, live longer, healthier, happier, get back some of those things that you have lost. If you're interested in my 6 F's and turning those F's into A's, family and fitness and finance and food and fashion and fun, head over to midlifemail.com. You can learn all about my coaching programs. You can download my free No BS Guide to Maximizing Middle Age. You can subscribe to the newsletter, have it dropped in your inbox every Sunday, as well as this podcast you're listening to right now. You can order a copy of my number one best-selling Midlife Male book on Amazon. A lot of stuff there that you can check out. And you can always reach out to me, greg@midlifemail.com. I'm happy to set up a free 15-minute call with anybody out there who has questions, any way that I can possibly help. You want to learn more, I'm always happy to do it. And you can do that at midlifemail.com as well. All right, joining me on the show this week, Justin Breen. This is a really interesting and quite frankly challenging conversation at times, because Justin's a super, super interesting, incredibly bright guy. He is the Wall Street Journal, USA Today best-selling author of Epic Life. He's a visionary PR entrepreneur, a global connector, a strategic coach, 10X ambition program, member of Abundance 360. He is an activator, a maximizer, and an achiever. He's really the connecting superhero for every visionary investment and abundance mindset entrepreneur who's looking to share their stories with the world. And he's very specific on who he works with, and he partners with the 0.1% because those are the ones that create the technologies, companies, and systems that benefit the other 99.9% of us out there. Let's get into it this week. Justin Breen, Brepic Media, author of Epic Life, How to Build Collaborative Global Companies While Putting Your Loved Ones first. Justin Breen, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. And we took a photo holding up Athletic Greens, so I know we both start our day with that. And I mean, it's a good plug because it's a great product.
Yeah, I love to see that. And I love kind of, again, you know, learning and understanding kind of, you know, what do guys do? You know, what's your routine? You know, what are you into? Walk me through that since you started there. You know, what is your morning routine? What does it look like?
You know, it's a great question. My brain turns everything into patterns, and good patterns become good habits. So like that's pretty much my whole life is talking to like the world's top visionaries who have all these ideas. And then every now and then one's really great. And then in my strength finders, the top three are Activate, Maximize, Achieve. So I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. I'll Activate, Maximize, Achieve that. And then I'll talk to a lot of those folks that have let entrepreneur life destroy their family life or prevented them from having a family. And I'm like, well, that's a bad idea. I'm going to Activate, Maximize, Achieve not doing that. So my whole life is, it's whole patterns of like in habits of doing things that won't destroy my family life or, you know, make sure I have family first. So the first thing I do every day, every single day is a grateful journal to my wife. What I'm grateful for her the previous 24 hours. If you think of the opposite personality as me, that would be my wife. She's warmth, empathy, rules. She's a pediatrician. So kindness, includer. And then I'm full like visionary wackadoo entrepreneur. So that's the first thing I do every day. And then 6 days a week, no matter the weather condition, run outside. So we live in Chicago. So for the past 20 years, run outside 3 to 5 miles. So it's cold, hot, rainy, windy, whatever that is. And then during those runs, we'll listen to shows like these. So, you know, positive motivational shows. So you're fueling your body and your mind. And then, you know, we talked about Athletic Greens. We'll have that in the morning with water and then a coffee as well.
Nice. You started also with family first in there. And I've got my 6 F's. And the first F for me is family also. You know, they go in order with family right. First. Family and fitness, finance and food, fashion and fun. And guys have all their things. Those are my 6. But the paramount, you know, fundamental is that family is always first. Talk to me a little bit about, you know, your perspective on this. You know, before we hit the button and went online, we're talking about guys that fall into the over-indexing trap and whether that's work, you know, and again, putting the family on the back burner and these things. And we'll get into kind of the order of even your books with Epic Business and then Epic Life. But, you know, whenever I hear from somebody who also describes himself, you know, as a dad first, who happens to be an entrepreneur, or family yes. first, and that's what I do. Unfortunately, it's a bit of an outlier, man, you know, and I think we need more men putting things in that priority order. And as we work to help make midlife the next and best phase, guys are starting to come back around going, wait a minute, maybe I kind of had it backwards, you know, in there. And how do I reset and how do I reframe?
Yeah, I mean, that's good simplification. And so most of my day is either spending time with my stabilizing human wife, thank God, and then our two very unstable, very wild, awesome kids who are 8 and 10 in Colby World, K-O-L-B-E. They're both 9 quick start, 2 follow-throughs. So that's true visionary entrepreneur. And then I have high quick start and high follow through, which is very, very rare. So say it, do it immediately, get it done. It's not handed off to 300 people. So full results. And so most of my day is spending time with my family or talking to the world's top entrepreneurs. So not business owners, definitely not humans, not consultants, like full visionary entrepreneurs changing the world, not there, the fundamental difference. So I talk to 1 to 2 of those folks every single week that have let entrepreneur life destroy their family life and prevented them from having a family. I'm like, well, that's not a good idea. I'm not going to do that. So the new book is about how to build collaborative global companies while putting your loved ones first. Oh, that's a good idea. So You know, and then Peter Diamandis, he's one of the top entrepreneurs in the world. He did the Ford. I'm very grateful for that. Very grateful for that. Because this is a message. I mean, I think this is what people actually want. They don't know how to do it because, again, I simplify into patterns. Entrepreneurs, again, not consultants, not business owners, not employee humans, entrepreneurs, visionary entrepreneurs, they're the most damaged people, with the best coping skills. Most damaged, best coping skills. So entrepreneurs, I have not met one, because my brain simplifies into patterns, that has not overcome at least one of the following four things. Most are two or three, and then the really successful ones are usually all four. So here are the four things. This is what separates entrepreneurs from humans and everyone else. Four things are bankruptcy or potential bankruptcy, two, depression, three, the highest level of anxiety that you can imagine, and four, likely and or possible traumatic experiences as a child or young adult. So humans, consultants, business owners, those are excuses. Those are things that get in the way. Entrepreneurs, fuel. That's fuel. And then, you know, those coping skills are used to create massive company, massive revenue, massive employee count. And many times, certainly not always, but many times those coping skills completely bypass family or anything meaningful. So you have all this material stuff and there's no meaning behind it. So that's what I see over and over and over and over and over and over. There certainly are exceptions, but it's like you said, many times it's not until 40s or 50s that you realize it. I've seen even many more times that it's never realized at all, ever.
Mm. What drew you to this subject matter, to this pattern? Mm, real.
Well, I'm a visionary entrepreneur changing the world. And if you're not a litmus test for the people you serve, then what are you? I mean, you're for lack of a better term, middle ages, trying to help people in their middle ages. So you're a litmus test for the people you serve. So if you're not a litmus test for this, so this is who I am. And so visionary entrepreneurs are usually aliens within their own family, community, and verticals. Nobody understands us except the top entrepreneurs on the planet. I just didn't know that. I was one of those people until I started First Company 5 years ago with zero business background, because I spent most of my life talking to people that had no idea what I was talking about. And I found people that, you know, actually understood what I was talking about. And so the formula for creating a successful global company is very simple. It's a very simple formula. And entrepreneurs are the ones that actually do it. So the formula is you see a problem, create solution to problem, problem solve successful global company. So we'll just take the book as an example. See a problem. You talk to one to two entrepreneurs every single week that have let entrepreneur life destroy their family life or prevented them from having a family. That's a problem. Create solution. Book. You know, it was Wall Street Journal, USA Today bestseller. Peter Diamandis wrote the Ford. Very grateful. Number one overall on Amazon Kindle. Very grateful. Problem solved. Successful global company. So, and to your point, outliers, people who think that with meaningful things first, they're aliens within the alien community. But I strongly feel that's what people actually want, because I talk to them all the time that say, oh, you're doing things right, or hey, this is what I actually want. So that's why I wrote the book.
Hmm. Does it have, you've referred to, you know, big global company, you know, a couple of times. Does it have to be big? Meaning like the character traits of visionary entrepreneurs. No. Does it have to be big?
Yeah. So one of the chapters, so thank you. Talk to me is meaningless without an answer. Like, I don't understand overthinkers, overfeelers. I'm full and strength finders, activate, maximize, achieve. So one of the chapters in the book is be a small giant. So in terms of connecting people on a global level and getting people in news, media, global level, I know like hot, top of the top, that's my zone of genius. If you ask me to tie my shoes or put on my kid's bike helmet, I can do it, but it's a nightmare for me. I don't know how to hold a pencil right. Very hard for me to do. I can do it, but it's hard. And so, but if you know one or two things that you're great at, you can be as big as you want. And so most, to your point earlier, business owners care about revenue, office space, employee count, material things, material big things. The things that I care about, and true visionaries care about, meaningful things, time with family, loved ones, and then network on a global level. Those are the only two things that I care about going big with, 10Xing. So I only ask myself two questions every single day. One, that questions that actually matter. One, did I have a good experience that day with my family? Two, did network grow on a global level? So every day, the answer to those are yes. And what I found is everything else kind of takes care of itself.
Mm. How do you find the visionary entrepreneurs that you speak with each day?
So that's a great question. That's a great question. So again, into patterns. So it's the same formula. So I keep writing bigger checks to be in smaller rooms, but the people in those rooms are making bigger impacts. So the two groups I spend most of my time in are Strategic Coach 10X and then Abundance 360 Summit. Those are 25K a year US dollars each to be in. I'd easily invest 50K a year because it's not only who's in the room, it's not who's not in the room. So bigger checks, smaller room, people in those rooms are making bigger impacts. That allows me to spend biggest investment in smallest room, which is my family, most time where I can make the most impact. So it's the same formula. And what has happened, because you're a litmus test for the people you serve. If you're in rooms like that, you become someone like that. And then I haven't done anything outbound in years. People like that now find me. But most people don't have the courage to start something like that and then figure out who you are and who you aren't. Because they're not visionary entrepreneurs. And that's fine. I just know I will do it. And then I'll figure out people that understand what I'm talking about and the ones that don't.
Two follow-ups. One, because I know this comes up from people. Okay, Justin, I hear you. You want to be in these rooms. You're making a significant financial investment. It's 50K to be in these rooms, so on and so forth in there. One, where does the 50K come from? You know, what is
no,
this guy
no,
do?
No. Visionary would never ask that. Nope.
But let's say you're not.
Well, I don't have those conversations. so my whole company is visionary who introducing each other. So this is my point. So this is my point. Okay. So bigger investment, smaller room, bigger. So the first networking group I joined was $250 a year. I'm still in that one because I'm loyal, but no one in that room understood what I was talking about. Then it was $500 a year. Then it was 1,000, then it was 2,000, then it was 5,000, then it was 10,000. At the 10,000 level, some folks started to understand. And then the 25,000 level, most of, and I can learn from most of those people, which I'd rather learn. I'd rather be the dumbest person in the room. Okay. So in that five, it was a $500 room. I had lunch with one of the folks in there. It was a nice lunch. And he goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. But the person who runs my company does. I'm happy to introduce you to him. I'm like, oh, okay, great. So that person, his name's Gary Klaben. Gary graduated first in his Army Rangers graduating class. He's most at peace when he's driving 200 miles an hour. He's a genius. I mean, so we were talking, he's like, well, you're not $500 a year group. You're 10,000 a year. I'm like, okay. So did the meeting and then I just wrote the check. So there's no, at the highest level, there are no excuses, only investments. So people, that's what I mean. Most people make excuses. I just write the check. So in 5 years as an entrepreneur, I think my firm, the PR firm's partnered with three billionaires, two billionaires, and then one, I think he's a billionaire. And then I think seven or eight that have been dirt broke, they just found a way to write the check. So there's not, at the highest level, there are no excuses. That's what separates entrepreneurs from everyone else. So people that ask that, they're just making excuses.
So to that point, do you have to be an entrepreneur, or let's say you are a guy who's working at a company, working at a firm, wants to put his family first, earns a good living, everything else. Can he apply the same tactics as an entrepreneur? Maybe he doesn't want to run his own or whatever the reason is, or is this mutually exclusive again, visionary entrepreneur or not?
So that's a great follow-up. And thank you for asking that. I appreciate you asking that and doubling down on it. So no, so if everyone was like me, the world would be a disaster. Thank God most people, I mean, it'd be a disaster. So, and my wife's the perfect example of this. Our first date was the day before she started medical school. So if there's anything comparable to to entrepreneur world that's going through medical school, rotations, residency, you know, pediatrician. And I would be the worst doctor of all time. She'd be the worst entrepreneur of all time. However, she applies the same principles to being a mom who happens to be a pediatrician. So absolutely, it can apply to anyone. My whole life, though, is spending time with my family, and then the people that are the first chapter of the book is the cream rises to the top. So it's only the people that will do whatever it takes to become, you know, those top people, because those are the ones that actually change the world and help everyone else. And then, so I help those people, and that way I can change the world by helping them.
Mm. Super, super interesting.
Yeah.
There. As it pertains to, you know, these like words like entrepreneur, visionary, and then now we're seeing quit your job, follow your passion. Like these things have picked up a lot of momentum.
You know? Right.
Yeah. Exactly. And they're scary. Right. And as you said, like, I believe this too. Not everyone is cut out, you know.
Most people can't do it. Well, they can't overcome those four things. That's entrepreneur. This is what, again, all I do is talk to top entrepreneurs. So one of my PR partners, this is a typical, it's extreme, but it's typical. So he was born in Burma, not Myanmar, Burma. His grandfather was decapitated when he was a kid. In front of him. Then he went to Hong Kong with his dad when he was 10, with like $10 in their pocket. They created 2 8-figure businesses. And then he's the third, he hired my PR firm. He created an at-home robot for people with Alzheimer's and dementia, like dispenses pills and has like a drone on it because his mom has dementia. So that's a entrepreneur. That's not a business owner. That's an entrepreneur. And that's what I mean. So like most people can't. Mike Malatesta, what a great guy. So his multiple huge exits, but his partner died in a fire in an explosion. And he, you know, he read the eulogy at the funeral. I mean, that is entrepreneur life. I mean, that's what it is. So most people can't handle everything that I've overcome. It's really nothing compared to most of the folks that I talk to. I mean, they're the most damaged people with the best coping skills, the most damaged. So most people don't have those coping skills. They don't have the IQ or the EQ, the ability to create a massive company. So that's fine if you don't. I just talk to the people that do.
Regarding that, top entrepreneurs, and you say that they do, you talk to them that they do. Before they've become top entrepreneurs, I'm curious about how many times, again, they've either tried or failed, or, you know, that idea
no failure.
Execution, right? Or no maybe they're not no all failure. One for one, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Oh, man, that's a good one. Okay. So, again, litmus tests for the people you serve. So my first company started with zero business background after I was a journalist for 20 years and created entire first company based on how PR firms annoyed me for 20 years. So I actually don't know what PR firms do other than annoy journalists, see a problem, create a solution, problem solve, successful global company, same formula. And so, job salary was cut as a journalist, couldn't find a job, incorporated with zero business background. And then reached out to 5,000 people to find first five clients, 5,000. So one out of a thousand. So most people can't do that. While I was working full-time at half the salary, got fifth client, resigned the next day. And then at the time he's retired now, which is interesting, but Robert Feeder was the top media columnist in the Midwest. He did a story. I'd started my own firm. So that was February 10th, 2017 to, June 5th, 2017. So that was just to get the first company started. Most people can't. They give up after five. They don't keep going. There's no way.
So that wasn't too long ago, 2017. Now, when you talk about PR and PR annoying journalists, like problem, solution, so on and so forth, what makes you different? Like, what was your breakthrough, or what was your big differentiator to say, okay, I'm going to do this differently?
Right. Well, it's the same. So everyone, visionaries, all they do is they see a problem, a loophole, they create a solution, they solve it, they do it, and then successful global company. It's the same formula. So And at the highest level, there is no competition, only collaboration. So people are like, oh, you're in the PR space. It's competitive. I go, I haven't done anything outbound in years. I just connect top visionary to visionary, and then they connect me to top visionary, and some of them want to hire my PR firm. So I don't do anything outbound. And then again, no competition, only collaboration. My company's entire process is on the website. There's no tricks. I've never seen any PR firm ever have their process on the website ever. So my firm, it's right there. We create stories similar to what you'd see in the New York Times or whatever. It becomes a link on the client's website. Take that link, pitch to media all over the world. Media is immediately interested. You put them in touch with the client. So it immediately solves the problem. So for any size company, any location, any vertical, that's meaningless. It just solves the problem. So it's a lot of fun. I just only partner with visionaries because they're the only ones that actually change the world.
Hmm. Do you have, or talk to me about your limits and your boundaries in terms of, again, family first. How many, you know, have you set it up in terms of how many clients I take, how many hours, you know, in order to, again, keep my priorities in order?
That's a fair question. I appreciate that question. So I was a journalist for 20 years. That's a business owner question. I never think about that stuff. So you don't get into journalism for office space, employee count. Like, I don't care about any of that stuff. I never did. Actually, it was I'm glad because I wasn't damaged by business school or, you know, material things. I don't care about that. And so I'm entirely in my zone of genius at all times, meaning the purpose of my life is to be a connecting superhero for every visionary, abundance, investment, mindset, entrepreneur, not business owner, not consultant, entrepreneur, and share their stories with the world, not there. It's a fundamental difference. So, I mean, I work 0 hours a week. None of this has worked for me at all. It's endlessly fun for me. It's not work. And then connecting people like that and it's not hard. It's easy. So there's really no limits to that. And then there's plenty of folks on my firm's team that can help with that as well.
Understood. Do you then though, because none of it feels like work and material is not important, how do you quantify it? Care about quantifying it?
No. Again, the only 10X things that I care about, experience in life with my family, and then global network. All this other stuff is taken care of itself. So again, that's the message I struck. So I was talking to this guy yesterday, multi-gajillionaire. And I've never met this person before in my life. And he was talking to me about how much he regretted getting divorced when he was, when his kids were 8 and 5, they're older now, and how he missed out on their childhood. So, I mean, I appreciate your questions, but I never think about that stuff ever.
How do you find your zone of genius and stay in your zone of genius if you don't even know what your zone of genius is?
Okay, thank you. So one, this is why I wrote these books, because people don't know how to do that. I just want the answer. And then, you know, one of the chapters in the second book is the process is the shortcut. So literally it's 30 shortcut. So, one way to do it is write down 30 things that you do every day, and then cross out 27, circle 3 that you really like to do, and I'm guessing financially viable. And then, you know, then there's your 3 things, and then you make a sentence or two out of it. Again, business owners, they don't think like this. Like true entrepreneurs, they would just do it, or they'd hire a big team to enable them to spend time in their zone of genius.
Once again, they establish what it is, or they've already known, or they've always known, right?
Well, that's a good point. I would say most folks don't always know. I think what separates entrepreneurs is they will do whatever it takes to find that out. And then once they find that out, they'll do whatever it takes to make sure they stay in that.
Is that a little bit of a difference or similarity in a way to like why and how, you know, like there's a lot on finding your why. Mm-hmm. And then there's a lot of white space between finding and knowing your why and how, you know, you actually get it done. Now, in terms of simplification, it's like, okay, visionary entrepreneurs will find a way, they'll figure it out, they get it done, boom. That's a big differentiator from, again, the masses, which is why most people are not visionary entrepreneurs.
Right.
And there's a big disconnect in understanding how visionary entrepreneurs operate and right. execute.
Right.
Yeah. Well, is it in order?
You know, so most of my conversations, they've certainly starting the company, the first one, were one-way conversations because no one understood what I was talking about. And then they'd ask the same question five different ways because it was like, so visionary entrepreneur, oh, we never talk about business owner stuff. We just talk about purpose, changing the world, really simplifying things. It's really, it's fun. It's endlessly fun. And you know, when it's very hard at first, when you're talking to someone and they don't understand what you're talking about, but, because again, visionary entrepreneurs are usually aliens within their own family, community, and vertical. The only people who understand us are top entrepreneurs on the planet. So, but if you're a visionary entrepreneur, you're going to do whatever it takes to find those people or embrace the fact that you're an alien. And you know, school as a whole, there are exceptions, and certainly higher education as a whole, there are exceptions. It's, you know, the opposite of entrepreneur. It's the opposite of that. So you're trained from a young age that do not embrace your uniqueness. See, being an entrepreneur, you almost have to unlearn what you were learned most of your life. So that's what I see from top entrepreneurs. They were just like oddballs. Outliers. I feel like I'm an outlier even among outliers for sure, but I'm okay being that person because outliers are the ones that change the world and it helps everyone else.
You approach this with your kids?
Great question, because we don't that's a good one. So again, in Colby world, KOLB, the only thing I write down before I meet someone is their name and their Colby score. It's an A index, $55 takes 20 minutes. It's not your personality. I don't care what someone's personality is. I want to know if they're going to actually do something. So most visionaries are very high quick start, boom, 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 and then little to no follow through. So they're all over the place. ADHD, ADD, diagnosed or undiagnosed. It's not a disorder, sign of genius, but it's misdiagnosed by humans. And so both of our sons are 9 quick starts, which is 10 is the highest, and then 2 follow through, 1 is the lowest. So they're boom, 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 idea, 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 idea. And so we talk about Colby, we talk about simplifier versus multiplier, we talk about all the freedom that I have and the other folks that that I hang out with have because they have this entrepreneur life. In Abundance 360, most people care about revenue. I don't, but in Abundance 360 at the level I'm at, the overwhelming majority of the folks are running $10 million to $10 billion companies. And if I'm not in a room with people like that, I get bored. So my sons sit in on those Zoom chats during those things. So these are the people building flying cars, technology, medical technology that allows, oh, the Athletic Greens, Sinclair, he's in that. I heard about Athletic Greens on his show. So he's in Abundance 360. He's developing technology that'll allow humans to live for 200, 300 years. So my sons sit in on that with me. And that's the greatest gift by far. There's not even a close second. The greatest gift by far being an entrepreneur, because most people don't know this world even exists, but my kids get to see this at ages, well, they've seen it since age 3 and 4. And then they can do whatever they want with it. But that's the greatest gift by far.
The Midlife Mail podcast would not be possible without the support of some incredible brand partners. I only recommend brands I use, believe in, and trust. And each brand was handpicked by me for a specific reason. I believe in these guys not just because they're great companies with great people behind them, but because the stuff works. I use these to stay at my peak, and I suggest you do too. So go over to midwifemail.com and click on special offers for exclusive Midlife Mail discounts and promotions. Let's talk about the book a little bit. Epic Business in there. He started with Epic Business. What is Epic? Mm-hmm. what is Epic to you? Mm-hmm.
So it's always funny to me. You know, these companies spend millions of dollars on branding and names, and that's fine, by the way. But so as a journalist, like I would just try to get the word epic in headlines and stories, like every single story, no matter what, and then constantly would say epic. So 6 days after 6 days after my 40th birthday, my wife surprised me with a trip to Kohler, Wisconsin, really nice 5-star resort up there. This is after my job salary was cut in half and I couldn't find a job. And so on the way up there, I'm like, oh, I'll just start a company, call it Brepic, because the first two letters of my last name are BR. And then I like saying the word epic. So incorporated a couple days later. I didn't even know how to incorporate. I didn't know, even know you had to do that, but I did. So now there's Brepic, there's Brepic Network, which is an exclusive invite-only connectivity platform. There's Brepic Scholarships, there's Brepic Youth Baseball Teams, there's Epic Business, Epic Life. I just think it's kind of funny. You can just make up something like that and then, you know, do all these fun things with it.
The naming aspect is an interesting thing that you talk about. I was at an event with a guy named Tim Parr, who's the founder and CEO of Caddis, which are the glasses that I'm wearing right now. Mm. And the problem he was trying to solve was that readers were uncool. The only place he got older needed readers. The only place
a problem creates, it's the same formula. Yeah.
And people kept keying on like where the name Caddis came from, you know, and where the, you know, the name on the, he's like, I don't give a shit. His whole thing was like, I saw like a caddis fly and I named it after a caddis fly. You know, and it doesn't fucking matter. You know,
I love that guy. That's a vision. That is not a business owner. See,
it's total visionary. It was exactly right. That. He's like, I go into the private equity meeting and other stuff. I'm like, talk to me like I'm a golden retriever. Like, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. Right. Cause he's on the visionary tip. And again, name, website, domain, all these, like, doesn't fucking
it's
mean
hilarious.
Anything.
It's hilarious. So, I don't know if he has children. If he does, please tell me. But so my wife,
he does.
Okay. So, this actually, I think this is a good point for your show and the message. So, and we can talk about this a little more if you want. So my dad was 61 when I was born, 61, he'd be 102 if he was alive. So I have like this old, I should be like 80, let's say 80. So I have like this old wisdom, 45-year-old body with the childlike mindset, maybe of a 5-year-old. This person you were talking about, he's regressing mindset wise in a good way. The really successful entrepreneurs, usually they're like little kids. So my wife is like, I have 3 sons, our 2 sons and me, like, cause I'm like a child, but it's hilarious. So I don't take things seriously. That's why, like, when you're asking about like client numbers and stuff, like, I just don't care about any of that stuff. I think it's funny that there's a Brepic T-ball team. That's hilarious. I mean, like, you can actually, that's why, like living in the US and other countries that like embrace this, it's hilarious. You can just create something in a, you know, a virtual world in some capacity. And then you can, like, my partner for second company, he's in San Francisco. I'm in Chicago. We've met 2 times in person. We created an invite-only connectivity platform. It's amazing. And if people with the right mindset, that childlike mindset, the creative mindset, there's endless opportunities. And so I just talked to people. What was the person's name again? Caddis?
Tim Parr.
Tim Parr. Okay. Yeah. So like, I just talked to Tim Parrs all day and then I'd like to connect Tim Parrs to Tim Parrs. It's endlessly fascinating.
Invite only.
Be the buyer. Yeah. Be the buyer. That's what I mean. There's nothing outbound. So you only partner with people that you're a litmus test for. So it eliminates competition.
So I like this again, conceptually also. And now, and I'm starting to combine it and piece it together with kind of like childlike youthful exuberance operating that way. Like, I think it's just funny. We have a T-ball team, like whatever. Then I do an invite only thing. Who are you looking for?
So at this point, I appreciate you asking that. So, again, I'll say how the pattern has worked and what it's led to, but the purpose of my life, connecting superhero for every visionary, abundance, investment mindset, entrepreneur, and share their stories with the world. So only visionaries, only folks that live in abundance, and only people that look at things as investments, not cost. So if someone says, what do you cost or charge? I'll never talk to that person again, because that's a business owner. That's a landing the plane transactional person. Those people don't change the world. They, and then changing the world, people do not want to be introduced. Okay. So what I've seen from when you start a business, there's a four-step process that I've seen, that what I've seen from what happens from like business owners transforming into visionary entrepreneurs. Cause like you said before, you don't necessarily know you are this person. You have to find out, how did you learn? Right. So there's a four-step thing that I've learned. Starting company, full get to get. So I reached out to 5,000 people to get first five clients. That's fine. A lot of people stay there. They stay in that get to get mentality their whole lives. If you'd like to stay at 0.1% success rate, go for it. Stay at get to get your whole life. Then there's get to give. You're giving a little bit, but you're mostly getting. You're mostly getting still. And most people definitely stay at that. Then there's give to get. You're giving, but you're still trying to get back a little. You're still trying to get. And then that's 99.9% of that's where almost everyone stops. Then there's the visionary entrepreneur level. There's give to give, but only to the people who get it. So I will endlessly give, but it's only to the people who get it. Because if you give to someone who doesn't get it, they're not going to know what to do with it. And if you introduce someone who doesn't get it to someone who does, that is not a good idea. You will annoy them, because they don't get it. And what I've seen, to answer your earlier question, is like, there's nothing outbound anymore, because I just give to the people who get it. And then they just will gladly give to me. So people actually find me now, but it took that four step journey.
How long did that journey take?
Okay.
So that's a good question. This is why I wrote the first book, because people are like, how did you build a global company with zero business background? So one of the chapters in that book is, when you start a company, it takes 2 full years to figure it out. Now, I will say this. Most people have said it actually takes longer than that. But starting a business, knock on wood, the first company has always been very profitable. But when you start, it's not going to take 6 months, a year, not a year and a half, two full years, at least.
I was making some notes. If you put together a business plan, which doesn't sound like you've done.
I've never done that. And I never will do that ever.
But got it. Okay, great. Point one, great point. Two, I've never seen a business plan that shows that any business is going to fail. We're going to give you money. I'll give you money. We're going to go into business, and 2 or 3 years later, we're going to be out. They all show these big projections and everything else.
I never look at those ever.
Right. The most real statement you made is that starting a business takes 2 full years to figure it out. So on the receiving end, somebody either gets that or they don't get that. Is it that simple? Meaning, like, don't show me all of this other shit that you said I'll never even look at. It's do I like your idea, and do I think that is actually going to work? Is that it?
That's a great question. So there's 34 strength finders, 34. Gallup, G-A-L-L-U-P. So most of the folks I talk to are high in ideation and futuristic. So they're idea, and then... But combined with activator, maximizer, achiever. So they're off in ideal land, but they'll do something about it now. Because if you're in ideal land and you don't do anything about it, that's a pointless conversation, and that's torture for you, by the way. So I am almost dead last in ideation and very low in futuristic. However, if I hear a good idea, my top three are activate, maximize, achieve. So I'll hear blah, 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 and then, oh, ding, and then activate, maximize, achieve. So action is all that matters. It's all that matters to me, action and results. So I'll simplify for all these ideators. And because they want to change the world, they'll write the check to do that and get connected to the right people. And then I will immediately simplify their message and then immediately connect them for media opportunities, investor opportunities, whatever that is. So to answer your question, ideas to me are completely meaningless unless you take action and do something about it.
Understood. But, and you're not the idea generator Okay. But you are the guy who knows what a good idea is, and then it triggers you to go do it. Okay.
Correct. So, and I will hear 50 to hear. So the second book, it took, this is a perfect example of this. It took 16 days to write the second book. It was very easy. Like, it's not hard because it's in Zone of Genius. Most people takes them their whole life to write it. For me, it's easy. But it took 2 years to get the ideas, because none of the ideas came from me. None of them did. So it took 2 years. There's 30 chapters. So one a month from an ideator. I'm like, oh, that's a great idea. And then I'll know immediately, and then activate Maximize Achieve into my life and company. So it took 2 years for the ideators to come up with enough good ones. But I'm endlessly grateful for those people, because they're the ones that will, they'll do it. They'll change the world. And then I can simplify and then activate it into my life.
To get to 30. Okay. Now I have a couple of follow-up questions to this.
Of course you're high follow through.
So if you got to 30, okay, that made it in, 30 transformational ideas that you gathered from some of the world's top business leaders, so on and so, okay. How many were screened and deemed like not good ideas in there? And then I'd love to know if you pinpointed this or know it all, why are you so good at figuring out which ideas are good and that you want to activate, maximize, simplify, all that?
So you're a deep thinker, and I'm guessing you are very low in ideation also, and you are very grateful for ideators. And that's people used to think that being low in ideation was a deficit. I think it's actually a strength, because I just want the answer. And then when I have the answer, I'll actually do something about it. I have stopped questioning how my brain works. I stopped doing that a long time ago. I just know my brain knows immediately if it's a good idea. And again, because I married a human who taught me how to say thank you and is the kindest, nicest person ever. And that's why the first thing I do every day is a grateful journal to her, because without her, it's a bad situation. It's a bad situation. And I realize all I would need to hear is one time I would talk to someone who's let entrepreneur life destroy their family life. When you talk to one to two people like that every single week that have done that, and they have all this stuff and they don't have anything, I only would have needed to hear that once. But I know because I have high quick start and high follow through in Colby, which is very rare. Most of the people I talk to have high quick start and low follow through, so they're all over the place, and I'm ultra focused, that I just know. I know when it's talk, and my EQ is very high. I'm very high IQ. That's genetic. And I can talk about my parents. I probably should talk about my parents after this, but like, I just know. So again, the only people that really understand what I'm talking about are top entrepreneurs. Most people are very confused because their brains don't work. They don't work like this. They don't think on a global level. They don't want to change the world. They're trying to change their world, and they would never even think about doing something like this, let alone do it. I just talk to the people that are doing it, and they'll do it.
Difference between, now I'm curious, and I want you to talk about your parents now, because we can transition there, because now I'm also intrigued with that. I challenge a little bit, and I feel like I have a lot of ideas. And the question is, which ones and opportunities and possible, and which ones to choose, again, determine which ones are the good ones that you want to activate and that you want to maximize and go forward with. And it changed. And at least for me personally, I'll say it's kind of changed. I've done small entrepreneurship, mid-size entrepreneurship, and then lastly was large, scale entrepreneur. Now I'm back here in my room as kind of a solopreneur for the first time in my life, approaching 50. Being able to do what I want, when I want, however I want. And it's like, okay, write a book. Fine. Wrote a book. Have 200 conversations with men. Okay. Coaching men at different areas. I got to this point now, or I'm at this point. I think the mission is bigger. I think the mission is bigger, to your point about global. Can help 10 men, work with them one-on-one, so on and so forth, do that. But what if the Everest was 1 million men?
Yeah, 10 sounds boring.
Right. Now, I guess it's to each his own. You can make a plan, you know, and they're saying, look, you can coach 10 men, X number of dollars a month, if you will, do this, yeah. impact their lives, blah, 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 blah. But what if the mission was global? What was the mission is bigger? There's 53 million midwife men in the country alone. Mm-hmm. You know, 80% of them are not financially where they want to be. 70% of them are not physically where they want to be. You know, they're over-indexed at work. They're not putting their families first. What if we could help millions of them? In there. Seems like a more abundant mindset. Seems like a more, I'm sorry.
There's no seeming at all. That's the obvious. Yeah. So my point is like, why wouldn't you do that? Most people wouldn't like, I would have immediately. So like, I name my years, right? Name my years. That's a good exercise. Joe Martin, good friend, PR partner. It's like, oh, name your years. I'm like, that's a good idea. I'll do that. So 2020 was global growth every day, global growth. So partners around the world, top entrepreneurial groups in the world. And then 2021 was no limits. So every day, no limits. When you have no limits, there are no limits. This year, 2022 is Epic Life. Okay. So, hey, Epic Life every day. It's a book, name of the book, Epic Life. I didn't know that was going to be the name of it, but it was the name of the year. So, and then 2023 is Networks. So that's going to be fun because new company is Epic Network. Creating a network. So Networks, that's a good one. So that'll be exciting. And again, good habits become, or good patterns become good habits. But so global growth, I mean, again, if you solve the problem, then it doesn't matter where that's meaningless. It doesn't matter where they're located or what they do. Or, I mean, so like, I guess to quantify it without quantifying it, my firms maybe partner with 0.1% of the population, maybe. So most people live in scarcity. They're like, that's a small number. I go, well, you don't live in abundance. So if there's 8 billion people, 0.1%, 8 million. So 8 million is a lot. And 8 million is what actually creates everything for everyone else. So I just
solve the problem. And then like solve the problem. If you solve the problem, you're successful.
You have to do it. Yeah. So you have to reach out to 5,000 people to solve the problem. Most people can't do it. I was talking to both of my sons are really good soccer players. And I was talking to one of the teammates of my 8-year-old. This was last year. And he was complaining about practice. And I'm like, well, what do you, I don't have tolerance for that, but. And so I was talking to him. I go, oh, hey, you know, when I started my first company, guess how many people I reached out to find my first 5 clients? Because these are the conversations I have with my kids. So sometimes that doesn't translate over to other kids, but I tried. And he's like, oh, 50? I go, 50. And I go, 5,000. And his mouth cartoon dropped. It was like a cartoon drop. And I'm like, so that's the reaction of most humans. 5,000. They can't. Mm-hmm. They're not. Yeah. So that's a pointless conversation for me, whether it's a 7-year-old or a 50-year-old, it doesn't matter. I mean, if someone doesn't understand it and they're not going to do anything, then that's a pointless conversation. And that takes time away from me and my family, which it all comes back to. People that don't waste my time allow me to spend time with my family, which is most important to me.
Mm. Good transition into, I think, Epic Life, from Epic Business into Epic Life. Mm-hmm. You went in that order, or did you not purposely, let's say, go in that order, or Epic Business led to Epic Life? And you're like, wait a minute, like, where do I start? Or how do those two tie together? You know, you started with the book Epic Business and now you've got Epic Life. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So I was on a show like this and one of my friends, PR partner, his name's Bill Bloom. He's an 8 quick start, 10 is the high. So he's a visionary. He's very high. He's one and futuristic. He's a full visionary. And I was like, oh, I have no idea what I'm going to name the title of my book. He's like, well, how about Epic Life? I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. even the title for my book, I didn't come up with that, but that's good. I knew that was a good idea because like what you just said, that's a good transition. I just needed an ideator to point that out for me. But yeah, I'll be curious to see what the, because I'm already working on the ideas for the, well, I'm not working on them, but the ideators have provided me ideas with ideas for the third book. I'll be curious to see what that one is called, but that's a couple of years down the road.
You think ideas are proprietary, or people hold back their ideas? And are those the ones that don't get it?
Yeah, a visionary would never hold. I mean, that would, they would. Yeah, because the people I talk to, they're endless ideators. Endless.
Yeah. It's almost too many idea, or it's constant ideation?
It's endless shiny object. Yeah, it's ADD diagnosed or undiagnosed. Yep.
And then what they really need is they need somebody to help them say, that's the good idea. Now we have to actually focus on it and activate and maximize right. that idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Then you get to move on to the next ones, I guess. Right. You know?
Is then that to the next one? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. How many conversations do you start that end extremely quickly?
Very few anymore.
Over time? Because I sense you've gotten to a place where it's like, hey, if this isn't my thing or they don't get it, like, as you said, I'm back to my family. You know? Kind of.
Again, this is actually that I did talk about that in the first book a lot. The conversations, because again, get to get, I was still talking to get to get and get to give folks in the first 2 years and even the first three. Now it's almost always give to give, but only to the people who get it. And then they're high, quick start, low follow through. So I know they're visionaries, and then they introduce me to other, you know, so there's no, I mean, I can't recall the last time. I'll never hang up on someone, but people will actually hang up on me. I mean, but that hasn't happened. And so we're in what, November to date this, we're in November 22. I think that's happened twice this year where they're like, oh, I have to go. But one of the chapters in the new book is Be the Buyer. And this happened a couple years ago. I strongly recommend getting the book, he's a Hall of Fame athlete. He's one of the top athletes in Chicago sports history. I can't say his name because that would be bad, but he was incredulous. He was incredulous of how I was talking, and he did hang up because he's like, wait, people invest in your company and they've never met you before? I go, yeah, it happens all the time. And he was the opposite of the people that I talk to usually. And I told the person who introduced us, I go, I appreciate the intro, but next time it has to be the exact opposite type of person. But that was the last time it was like a really truly bizarre exchange. Not a visionary, definitely not a visionary. The opposite, entitled. Visionaries are not entitled. The opposite of that.
What's a question that you, is there one like, you know, like, hey, I do a lot of these things now, or I talk and I try to, and I'm putting kind of tolerating certain things or put it as much as I possibly can. What's a question that you're like, nobody's ever asked me that, you know, or I keep wanting, like, I feel like somebody should get it or ask me, and it just never gets there.
I appreciate that question because, you know, I've interviewed thousands and thousands of people as a journalist, and then having, you know, global PR from interviewing people. So the only two questions I ever prepare for are, who are your parents or grandparents? Because if you know where you come from, then you know where you are and you know where you're going. Most people don't know where they come from, so they don't know where they are and they don't know where they're going. So it starts with where you come from. And then I always end every interview with, is there something else you'd like to ask? Is there something that would be good for this story? Is there anything I'm missing? Because sometimes, like, people wanted to say something, but they were never presented with the opportunity.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that question. And I'm always trying to learn. I don't know. Like, I'm so direct, and like, my wife's 100% gray and I'm 100% black and white. So like, I'm really like very self-aware of who I am and who I'm not. I'm really trying to think about this, and I appreciate you asking it. If there's something, I mean, I used to wonder why there weren't more people like this, but the world was not meant for people like me. It wasn't. It was designed for. I was talking to one of my visionary friends. He's an 8 quick start. Again, 10's the highest. And he was like, you know, the overwhelming majority of people are sheep, and then entrepreneurs are sheepdogs. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting. That'll be a chapter in the third book, Sheep and Sheepdogs. So I looked it up because I'm a high fact finder. There was a Science Daily article, 2006 article about there's two primary roles of sheepdogs. So most humans, most people are sheep. That's fine. Sheepdogs. So there's only two scientific roles for sheepdogs. One is to keep the sheep in line, and two, push the sheep forward. So that's a visionary. Keep the sheep in line, push them forward. So I just talked to sheepdogs. And then sheepdog going into a sheep world, it's weird. It's a weird because you're not sheep, you're a sheepdog. And then what I will say is that sheepdogs usually do marry sheep, though. I've noticed that. Usually sheepdogs marry stabilizing humans, which thank God for that, by the way. Thank God.
You mentioned at the tail end of another question as we were talking about, oh, my parents, I should probably talk about my parents.
You got my follow through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about your parents do you want to talk about?
Well, so my father was a World War II hero. He was shot down multiple times in combat, many times without a parachute, and got back in the plane. So if you're a visionary, you'll get back in the plane without a parachute. That's my litmus test. He died when I was 13, and I know what it's like not to have a dad around, so I'll never be someone that lets entrepreneur life just because I just know what it's like. And then every day while he was alive in his older, later years, he said the cream rises to the top. So that's it. I mean, you're either someone that will do whatever it takes or you're not. Most people aren't. And then my mom was 27 when I was born, 34-year difference. In his late 50s, my dad was hit by a drunk driver. Drunk driver killed instantly. Dad broke every bone in his body, survived. And then my mom was his nurse. That's how they met. My mom, most of my days talking to the world's top entrepreneurs, I still haven't met one that has more hustle EQ than my mom. So here I am. I'm just the result of that. My wife, most wonderful woman ever. And our sons have all her great things. And then they have my full go for it. We'll get into a plane without a parachute. They haven't done that, but they would do that. They would definitely do. They would do that. We're already talking about going skydiving. So that'll be fun.
We talked about your morning routine when we first got on because you held up your bag of athletic greens. We talked about
that was for you, man. That was for
thank you. Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you in there. And I think the Athletic Greens people are going to appreciate it too.
It's a great company. So
absolutely. So you talked about the morning on there and your routine. What does the rest of your day look like?
Well, it's all in the zone of genius. Connecting superhero for a visionary abundance investment mindset entrepreneur and share their stories with the world. So again, like first thing I do is a grateful journal to my wife, then run outside. And then it's, you know, every Monday through Friday, it's about, you know, 5 to 10 conversations like this, whether they're recorded or not. I mean, the only difference between this and other conversations I have is just that you hit the record button and then it's broadcast out. But so do a lot of media for the book because you're a litmus test for the people you serve. And then I did not expect this, but this is how you learn. Hosts want to interview me first, then they want to interview all my PR partners. I never expected that. And then it's just connecting. And then every Monday through Friday, again, good patterns become good habits. I do a grateful journal on LinkedIn. I'll include that in this. What you're grateful for, it's like a commercial for other people. So send me the photo with the athletic greens. I'll put that in there. But what I found is to simplify all that is when you're constantly grateful, it's hard to be ungrateful. It's very hard. Yeah.
I like that. Absolutely. This has been fascinating to me. I'm going to go.
And over 45 minutes.
Yeah. Well, one has been fascinating for me. And I'm going to tell you, like, this has been challenging for me. You know, you got on, you're like, hey, I come in unprepared. You know, this is where we're going to go. I'll be honest, I come in to a certain extent, like unprepared. Like I want to see where the conversation goes, try to really listen and try to really follow up. This has really been fascinating for me on a number of levels. Justin, where do people find you or find the books, or if you don't even want to be found, you know, but what do you want them to get, you know, from you? Like, hey, if you don't think this way, like, don't come find me, but still find the book.
If you don't, no. So thank you. Like, if someone doesn't think this way, they tune out a long time ago, but then other people are like, oh, well, no, I mean, that's fine. But thank you. The books, the new one's called Epic Life. So, and it's everywhere in the world. So I'm very grateful for that.
Awesome. Well, Justin Breen, thank you so much. He is the author of the international bestseller, Epic Business. You can see it right behind him. And he's back, okay, with the bestseller, Epic Life. This has been a fascinating, intriguing, and eye-opening conversation. I'm going to be looking into a number of the things you talked about, and see what I can learn there. So thank you so much for joining me on the Midlife Male podcast this week. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, if you like what you've heard on the podcast, please do me a favor. Give us that 5-star rating. Leave us that positive review. Share the show with your friends and keep the Midlife Male movement growing. Until next week, I am out of here. Take care.
If you're interested in coaching and taking this conversation deeper so that you can achieve your personal and professional goals, be sure to head over to midlifemail.com and check out the Work With Me page to explore options.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
If you only have a 401k, you're not getting the most for retirement.
Wait, what?
Add a Robinhood IRA on top, then they'll boost it by 3%.
You can do that?
And if you transfer in any retirement account, you get 3% on top of that.
Is there a limit to the match?
No limit. Robinhood Gold gets you the biggest contribution match of any IRA on the market. Sign up for Robinhood Gold at Robinhood.com/boost by April 30th. Subscription fees apply.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires gold for 1 year from first match. Must keep IRA for 5 years. Match on transfers subject to additional terms and conditions. Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC.